Today's daf is Chulin Daf Kuf Lamed Hey. Today, Be'ezrus Hashem, we just have to finish off the last couple of lines of Perek Hazrol V'Chayayim, and we will begin Perek Reishis HaGeiz. Today's shiur is once again sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children, and we again thank him very, very much for the sponsorship. So we're holding on the very bottom of Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph and Beis, and the Gemara is going to discuss the exact place of the L'chayayim, where on the animal is the L'chayayim, and then we're going to begin Parak Reish Sagez, and the Mishnah is going to delineate some of the rules of Reish Sagez, including which animals are included in the mitzvah of Reish Sagez, how many animals do you need to shear in order for it to be Reish Sagez, how much wool do you need to give for Reish Sagez, and the number of peturim from Reish Sagez. Then the Gemara is going to discuss why it is that it seems that we need a pasuk to exclude behemus hamukdashim from Reish Sagez if anyway it's usher to shear hegdish animals, so automatically you're not going to have Reish Sagez from behemus hamukdashim. Then on the bottom of Amud Aleph, we're going to have a machlokas whether shutfim are chayiv in Reish Sagez and how each opinion accounts for all of the different words in the pasuk about whether shutfim are chayiv in Reish Sagez. On Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to have a machlokas whether shutfus of an akum exempts from truma if a guy is a partner together with a Jew in a field. Does the produce chayiv in truma? And then on the second half of Amud Beis, going well into tomorrow's daf, Rava is going to bring 10 different examples, 10 different cases, mitzvahs in the Torah, that even though the Torah expresses itself b'lashon yachid, that everyone would agree that shutfim are chayiv as well. Even Rabbi Elai, who we're going to find Pater's shutfim from Reish Sagez, is going to agree in these 10 places that shutfim are chayiv in these 10 mitzvos, even though the Torah expresses itself b'lashon yachid. So let's begin first by finishing off the last perek. So we left off Ezu lechi min haperek shel lechi v'al pika shel gargeres, that we said that the lechi is from the it goes all the way down to the pika shel gargeres, which is the opening of the gargeres. So the Gemara says that seems to be over the large taba'as at the top of the kana. That's the gargeres. So it says Marav Atanya, but we have a bright side that contradicts that. It says notla ube shchita ima, that you take the lechi together with the beis shchita, and that seems to be much further down. Says Marlokasha, Harabban Rabbi Chaim ben Antigonus. This is Machlokas Rabban Rabbi Chaim ben Antigonus. Where exactly the Makom Hashchita is? How high up can you shecht on the animal? So yeah, you could just say that our Mishnah assumes like the Rabbanan that who passel the shchita that's done above the Taba'as Hagadola. So therefore, they don't call the Pika the Beis Hashchita because that would be a possel place to do the shchita. Whereas the Brisa assumes Rabbi Chaim ben Antigonus, who's Machshir Shchita on top of the Taba'as Hagadola. And until the Shipua HaKova, and that's why the Braisa calls that place the Beis HaShchita, because they hold that it's actually kosher. Detanya, as the Braisa tells us, Mugremes Psula, if you have someone shecht and he tilts the knife toward the end of the Shchita and he finishes the slice above the Taba'as HaGadola in the Kova, the Rabban would say that's a possible Shchita, that's not a kosher place for Shchita. Hey, Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, al Mugremes Sheik Sheira. Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus says that that's kosher, even if the entire Shchita is above the Taba'as HaGadola into the Kova. So according to him, only if you're Mata the Sakin even more, and it goes even higher up than the Shipua Kova, only then is it going to be possible. Or, alternatively, another way to resolve the stira between our Mishnah and the Braisa, Ibai say Mahava Rabban, both the Mishnah and the Braisa assume like the Rabbanan, that the psul, that the Shchita Lamala from the Taba'as HaGadola is going to be Pasul, Umay Ima, Ima de Behema. When we say that Beis HaShchita Ima, it doesn't mean that the Beis HaShchita is part of the L'chayayim, it means the Beis HaShchita is part of the rest of the Behema. The L'chayayim goes up until, but not including the Beis HaShchita. Okay, so those are the two ways to resolve the stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Hadron lachazra v'l'chiyayim. So now we begin Perek Reishis HaGeiz. The Torah tells us there's a mitzvah v'reishis geiz tzoncha titein lo, that every time you shear your sheep, you're supposed to give some of that shearing as a matana to a kohen. That's the mitzvah known as Reishis HaGeiz. So says the Mishnah, Reishis HaGeiz noig ba'aretz u'b'chutz la'aretz. It's noig both in Eretz Yisrael and chutzlaretz b'fnei abayis v'shelo b'fnei abayis, both b'zman shebeis hamikdash yikayim and now that there is no beis hamikdash b'zman hazeh b'chulin aval lo b'mikdashim, but it only applies to chulin animals and not to mikdashim animals. Chomer b'zrav l'chayim keva mireish sagez. In a certain sense, zrav l'chayim keva are more chomer than reish sagez. Shazrav l'chayim keva nogin b'bakar ubetzon. Zrav l'chayim keva are knowing on more types of animals, on both bakar and son, bimaruba ubimuat, and it's also knowing whether you shecht a lot of animals or whether you shecht only a single animal. V'reish sagez eina knowing ela b'ruchelos, v'eina knowing ela b'maruba. And in both of these senses, reish sagez is more kal, because it's more limited, it only applies to ruchelos, it only applies to sheep, and it only applies to shearing lots of animals, but not when you shear just a single animal. What does that mean, lots of animals? V'kamihi meruba, what's considered lots of animals? V'shami yom shtei rechelos. It has to be two sheep. Less than two sheep, there's no chiv of reish sagez. Where do they get the idea that reish sagez tzomcha means necessarily two sheep? Shenemar, because the pasuk says in Yeshayahu, in the Nevuah, on the days of Chizkiyahu, that yichaye ish eglas bakar ushtei tzom, that each person is going to be megadel only a single eglas bakar and two tzom, but there's going to be so much bracha that that's going to be enough, that that's going to provide them with everything that they need. So you see that the word tzom is explicitly being used in that context to describe two, and therefore we can say reish sagez tzomcha is also the shearings of two sheep. That's already chiyuv of reish sagez. Beis Hillel lomar no, Beis Hillel says chamesh, it needs to be five. Shenemar, because the pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, when it talks about the gifts that Abigail sent to David, so David wouldn't kill her husband Naval before Abigail herself ultimately married David after Naval's death, chamesh tzon asuyos, that it was chamesh tzon. So you see that tzon is used in the context of chamesh, so therefore it's you see by Rish Sagez, when it says Rish Sagez tzoncha, it must be that you shear five sheep. Obviously the Gemara is going to have to ask the question that generally speaking tafasta meruba lo tafasta, that if you have two options of what the word tzon can mean and you have two different psukim, one indicates that it's two, one indicates that it's five, so to go with the one that it says five is unusual. You should go with the one that says two. So we're going to deal with that in the Gemara. But we do see very clearly there is a, in the Torah itself, that there is a mitzvah of Reish Sagez, and our mission is clear that it applies in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz Laaretz, even Bizman Hazeh. And however, la halacha, we're going to see in tomorrow's daf, we pass like Rabbi Hillel, who holds that Reish Sagez is only in Eretz Yisrael and not in Chutz Laaretz. Remember, we had the discussion whether Rabbi Hillel's comment is going on the Matanos as well, on even the Matanos Yisrael Chayayim Bekeva, that it doesn't apply in Chutz Laaretz, but certainly on Reish Sagez, Rabbi Hillel is going, that Reish Sagez does not apply in Chutz Laaretz against the Shita of our Mishnah. But Be'eretz Yisrael, Reish Sagez seems to definitely apply. In the commentary on the side of the Shulchan Aruch in Yerdeh, some Mishnah Lam Gimel called the Beis Hillel, the Beis Hillel writes that even in Eretz Yisrael there's no Reish Sagez Bizman Hazeh, and he says it's, that's the way he learns Pshat and Ramah. And he says the same Mishnah by Matnas Kuhuna, that they're not knowing Be'eretz Yisrael. However, the Chida in Birkei Yosef says, Imo Haslicha, with all due respect, you know, Imo Haslicha is an expression, with all due respect, everyone is knowing Reish Sagez in Eretz Yisrael Bizman Hazeh. Reish Sagez, Matnas Kuhuna, Maisros, the Ramah never meant to exempt Reish Sagez. He has a different reading of the Ramah, so he doesn't understand where the Beis Hillel is coming from. He says it's Meforsim in Eretz Yisrael, that's what they do, that they're Mafresh Reish Sagez. In the Orach HaShulchan, he says he doesn't know any reason to exempt. He said, Mikra Adin, even in Chutz Laaretz, it really should be Chayiv. Elish Anag, Gukain, for whatever reason, the Minig developed not to do it in Chutz Laaretz. But in Eretz Yisrael, Ein Shum Tam Vereach, says the Orach HaShulchan. In Eretz Yisrael, there is no reason whatsoever. Hayari Dvar Hashem, Yira L'Kayim HaMitzvah Ketikna, a person who's Yari Dvar Hashem should do the mitzvah properly. Rav Sturmbach in Shuvah Svein Hagel says that some people, in Chelek Gimel, Simon Shimon Bey, says that some people are Mahader to dafka buy five sheep with a Shir Giza in order to be able to fulfill this mitzvah of Reish Sagez. that the Arizal writes that for a person to achieve Shleimus HaNefesh, he should try to do as many mitzvot as he possibly can. Not just, you know, keep doing more of the same mitzvot, but try to do as many different mitzvot as he possibly can. Mitzvot that he doesn't normally get the opportunity to do. You go visit a place where they're shechting chickens, they'll give you the opportunity to do a mitzvah of Kisui Adam. Try to do different mitzvot, and when you do different mitzvot, that will allow a person to achieve a certain sense of Shleimus HaNefesh. So that's why there are those that are mahadir to dafka try to do resh sagez in derech emuna, which Chaim Kanievsky say for on zrayim. So in derech emuna and bikurim, he says that some are noheg to make tzitzis out of the resh sagez. That's kibun shenasa bo mitzvah achas, so yasa bo od mitzvah. That once you're doing one mitzvah with it, so we do another mitzvah with it as well. The Imre Emes, the Ger Rebbe says in a letter, he doesn't understand what the chashivas is of making tzitzis from resh sagez. There's no kedusha in resh sagez. Resh sagez is chulin. It doesn't have a status of kedusha, but he says it could be this idea that sometimes, even when something doesn't have inherent kedusha, but it was used for a mitzvah. So if something's used for a mitzvah, you go and you do another mitzvah with it. In fact, the Gemara in Shabbos tells us in Daf Kuf Yud Zayin that Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yasi used to, if they would have the eruv bread, the matzahs that were used for the eruv, they would dafka have suda Shabbos with those matzahs. They would dafka make lecha mishnah with those matzahs. Once the mitzvah is done with it, that's probably most famous for us. It's in Yonah Dioma that many people are noheg. I mean, it's recorded in Shulchan Aruch that many people are knowing that they put aside their lulav after Sukkot and they save it for the burning of chametz. They use that as the wood for the fire for the burning of chametz. Because once you did a mitzvah achas, you do another mitzvah with it. That's considered to be an appropriate thing to do another mitzvah once you've done a mitzvah achas. There is a machlokas rishonim and achronim. Let's say a person is going to do the matnas kuno or the resh sagez bizman hazeh. Do you say a bracha on it? The Rashba holds no. Rokech says yes. So in the Sefer Pasa Shulchan, he has many rayos that you should say a bracha when you give it to a kohen, and he says that's what the Gro is knowing to do, and to say a bracha on the matanos. In Shuvas Vanagos, he says he thinks more likely not to say a bracha on giving resh sagez, because you're not being matir nisr tevel or anything, you're doing a mitzvah snesina. So what? Well, mitzvah snesina is very similar to the mitzvah of tzedakah, and we don't say a bracha on the mitzvah of tzedakah, and therefore it's one should not say a bracha on resh sagez. One could argue there's a big difference. The mitzvah of tzedakah is purely a mitzvah ben adam l'chaveru. We never say a bracha on the mitzvah ben adam l'chaveru. Resh sagez isn't only a mitzvah ben adam l'chaveru. It's not stam a mitzvah tzedakah. It's a mitzvah dafka of this type that you have to take the shearings from the sheep. So it doesn't seem like it's purely a mitzvah ben adam l'chaveru. And maybe for that reason, many rishonim and achronim held that one does recite a bracha on the mitzvah of resh sagez. Okay, so far all we said is resh sagez is knowing everywhere, every time, but it's only knowing if you have at least five sheep according to the Beis Hillel. Rabbi Dosa ben Arkinas Omer, chamesh rechelos manamana gozos manamana upras. Not just that it has to have five sheep, there has to be a minimum amount of shearing that you have to do in order to be chayav resh sagez. So you have to have a mana and a half from each of the sheep, then chayavos resh sagez, then you're going to be chayav resh sagez. Chamesh omrim chamesh rechelos gozos kol shehin. Then no, you don't need a shear. Any amount that you take from five sheep is going to be chayav in resh sagez. Obviously, this machlokas is within the sheet of the Beis Hillel that holds that the number is five. But the question is, how much wool do you need from each of the five? Vikamenosano, and how much do you give to the Kohen? Mishkal chamish shlam beYehuda, shein eser shlam beGalil. The weight of five slaim in Yehuda, which equals the weight of 10 slaim in Galil, because the weights are different. But it's that would be the same weight. That would be the equivalent. So that's the shear nesina to a kohen meluban velotzoi. And what's the reason for that amount to give? So we're going to see that the idea. Well, let's see right now. Malubam talotzoi. You give it whitened, but not dirty. Meaning that's the shear is measured when it's cleaned, when there's still dirt in the wool. And kidei lasos mimenu beged katan. And that shear is enough wool to make a beged katan out of it. Shenemar, because the pasuk says titein lo yehei bo kidei matana, that you should give a respectable amount. What's a respectable amount? Something that he could do something with, that he can make some sort of beged katan with. But he give a little bit of wool that they can't even make a beged with. That's not even called a kidei nesina. I'm not sure whether wool is different than linen. The Gemara says in Maseches Megillah that bishvil shteisla milas sheshina Yaakov ben ben Abanim niskalgal davar v'yardu avaseinu l'mitzrayim, that because of shnei sloim of linen that Yaakov gave to Yosef, that's what caused the jealousy, that's what led to the entire Golos Mitzrayim. So it sounds like the whole Ksanas Pasim was only shtei sloim. Over here we're saying that chamish or eser sloim is a sheer beged katan, is the minimum amount that you have to make a beged. Maybe wool's different. I don't know. I didn't see anyone that discusses that. But lechora, that's it's a kasha. I mean, I think it's a kasha. I don't know. I didn't see anyone that discusses that issue. But shtei sloim milas is what it took to make the. That's what their merame is. The Gemara says elsewhere in Megillah that mila b'sela. Shtikusa b'shtayim, that if a word is worth a sela, your silence is worth two slotim. That sometimes you're not sure, should I say something, should I not say something? Don't. Right? Your silence is better than speaking sometimes. So Rabbi Isaac Bernstein once commented, I forget who he quotes, that that's mistama why the Gemara highlights that Yaakov made a ksodas pasim of shtei slotim milas. He was trying to be merames to Yosef. I know you have dreams. I have the same dreams for you. I think you're going to be great and you're going to be a melech and you're going to be all those things. But you have to go around talking about it. You have to go telling all your brothers this. So he made him a coat that had shtei sloim to be merames to him. That shtikusa b'shtayim, that shtika is worth shtei sloim. You'd be better off if you weren't talking about such things. Okay, anyway, so the minimum shear of Rish Sagez is the amount to make a small beged. Lo hispik lit nilach tzva'o pater. If you already dyed the wool and you hadn't yet given Rish Sagez, now you're pater. There's no more mitzvah of Rish Sagez. Livno v'lo tzva'o chayiv. If you only whitened it, but you didn't color it, then you're chayiv. That's not considered a shinoi. Meaning, this is the principle called shinoi kona. That once you're a tzoveya it, now you're kona it. And remember, Reish Sakeis doesn't have any inherent kedusha. It's just mamono shel kohen. But once you make this shinoi in it, that you dye it, so now it's no longer mamono shel kohen, and therefore you're going to be pater from giving the Reish Sakeis. Halukeach geis tzono shel ovid chavim. If a person purchases the shearings of the sheep that belongs to a guy, pater from Sagez. It's part from Rish Sagez because the sheep is not sheep that's owned by a Jew. It's a sheep that's owned by a guy. Halakeach ke sono shel chaveiro. If you buy the shearings of another Jew's sheep, im shiara mocher. If the mocher kept part of the shearings for himself, he only sold you a portion of the shearings, chayiv. Then the mocher is chayiv to give Rish Sagez from his chelik to the kohen, even for the tzemer that you have purchased from him. But lo shiir halokeh chayiv. If the mocher kept nothing for himself, he sold you all of the shearings of his sheep, and he's a Jew, then you, the lokeh, who buys those shearings, are chayiv to give Rish Sagez from the portion that you bought, even though it's not your sheep, but all of the shearings are yours. Hayilo shnei minim. If let's say the mocher had two different types of animals, shchufos ulevanos, he had gray animals and white animals. Machalo shchufos avlo levanos, and he sold the lokeach only the shearings of the shchufos, but not of the levanos. Zucharim avlo nekevos, or he sold you the shearings of only the male animals, not the females. Well, then zenos en latzmo, zenos en latzmo. Each of them, the mocher and the lokeach, have to give from their chelek resh sagez. Neither one is putter with the other one, because they don't have a chelek in any of the wool of the other guy's animals, because they've made a clear dividing line. Males are mine, females are yours. Gray ones are mine, white ones are yours. So each one is going to be chayiv in their own mitzvah of Reish Sagez. Okay, so now says Gemara, but Mukdash in my time alone, why is it that there's no chayiv of Reish Sagez in animals that belong to Hagdish? Amar Krah, because the Pasuk says, Soncha velotzon hagdish. We darshan your sheep, but not sheep that belong to hagdish. So time because rachman tzoncha. So it sounds like I need a pasuk. Only because the pasuk says tzoncha, I know that hagdish animals are part from reshis hageis. Halav hachi hava amina kachim chayavim reshis hageis. But otherwise, my natural assumption would have been that kachim are chayavim reshis hageis. Ask the Gemara, how could that be? That would have been the assumption. Halav b'nei gizaninu. You're not allowed to shear kachim. The pasuk says velosagos b'char tzonecha. So from there we see that all behemoths that have kedusha, you're not allowed to shear. So why do I need a pasuk to tell me that the mitzvah of reshis hageis doesn't apply to behemoths that have kedusha? Of course, it doesn't apply to behemoths that have kedusha. Behemoths that have kedusha are asur b'giza. So one might ask, no, maybe the pasuk needs to tell me that if I violated the iser and I was gozes, that I'm still nachayiv in Reish Sageis. So Rush raises that question and says, now, since the Torah asks shearing, it's not mistaver that I need another pasuk to potter me if I do shear it. Chassam Sofer says something differently, that the pasuk is not going to speak about a case where you did an iser, where you violated the iser of shearing the Kodesh animal. Like the Gemara says in Yivam Asayin Ches, the Torah doesn't write dinim of heter that are shaykh to a maisa that would only be if after you violated an iser, because that's not common. It's assumed to be too uncommon for the Torah to deal with it directly. Chassam Sofer also suggests that you can't say that there would be a mitzvah of Reish Sageis after you violated the Yisra, because that would be the very definition of mitzvah above Avera. The only way to get to that mitzvah is by first doing the Avera of shearing the kachim animal. So mitzvah above Avera, it's obvious that there's no mitzvah once if the only way to get there was through the Avera. Also, the Chazon Ish suggested a third answer, that the reason we cannot say that we're talking about that we need a pasuk to patri from Reishis HaGeiz of Kachim after you violated the Isser of being Gozes Kachim is because in order to be Chayv in Reishis HaGeiz, the Mishnah says you need five sheep. Each time you Gozes, you behemos, Zeh Achar Zeh, you're not Gozes them Bebasachas, but they're all Mitztarif to the shear. Meaning, obviously, you only have two hands. There's no way you could be shearing five sheep Mamish Bebasachas. So it's one sheep, and the next five times, and they're all mitzayif to the shear, because from the time that you gozes the first one, your plan is to be gozes all of them from the beginning of the giza process. But when there's an iser to be gozes all of them, there's no way they could be mitzayif to the shear, because you can't say, oh, my plan is. No, you can't have a plan to be gozes be iser. So therefore, even if you do it, even if you follow through on what you think your plan is, but that halachically doesn't take on the status of a plan, because it's us, or we would abort the process and we would tell you not to do it at any point. So that's the Chazon Ish, a third possible explanation of why it is that we can't assume that I need a pasuk to pater kachim from Reish Sageis in the event that I did it be iser. It's not necessary to have a pasuk. Of course, your kachim are going to be pater from Reish Sageis because you're not allowed to be gozi's kachim. So says Gemara, the answer is ibe kachim mizbeach hachinami. If we were talking about kachim mizbeach, you're right. I wouldn't need a pasuk to pater kachim mizbeach from Reish Sageis. Hachamay askinan bekachim betek abayis. Over here, we're talking about that animals don't have kedush saguf. We're talking about you designated them just for kedush betek abayis, that their value is going to be used for the betek abayis. Such animals have no Isser Giza, and if they have no Isser Giza, Mimela, I need a pasuk to tell me that there's no mitzvah of Reish Sageis. Says Maravarma Blazer, Kachar Bedek Abayis, Asurim Begiz Vavoda, but they do have an Isser Giza. So there goes that, right? Rabbi Blazer says that even Kachar Bedek Abayis have an Isser of Giza. And Mimela, I'm back to the Kasha. Why do I need a pasuk to tell me that they're pata from Reish Sageis? I'm not allowed to shear them. Says Maravarma, Midrabanan. They have an Isser of Giza, but only Midrabanan when it's Kachar Bedek Abayis. Salka, Daitikamina Hol, so I might have thought that since the on a daraisa level you're allowed to be gozes them, so I would think that if you are gozes them midaraisa, you have to give the reish sageis. That's why I need a pasuk to tell me that no, you don't give reish sageis. Frankly, Gemara, how could there be any room to suggest that there would be a chiv to give the wool that your gozes from a behemoth's hektish to a kohen is reish sageis va kadishla, but it's kadosh. How can you give a Kohen, Mamun Hekdish. It doesn't belong to the Kohen, it's Hekdish. You can't, it says Mamish Lifnei Iver, you're going to give him Mamun Hekdish. Now, Sadat Chamin and Lifrok Vilesavlei. Now, the Havamina is not that I would just give it to him as Hekdish, that I would first be Poda it and then give it to him. In fact, the Gemara of Abayi Hamadvaracha, in order to be Poda Hekdish from Balei Chayim, they need Hamadvaracha. You have to stand them up and assess them. But over here, the only part that's Hekdish is the wool. So you can't do Hamada on wool. Tosfos points out, but the wool is still enough a part of a live animal that it would be subject to the requirement of Hamad V'Aracha. So it would have a requirement of Hamad V'Aracha, but Hamad V'Aracha would be impossible. So it can't be that you're poda it. There's no way to be poda it. Says Marhanicha, so we wouldn't have a kasha if the other Katshe B'Tik Abayis do not have this requirement of Hamad V'Aracha. El Mandi Amar, but if you say they are included in Hamad V'Aracha, so then we're back to our kasha. Why do I need a miut of the pasuk to tell me that kachim is not chayiv in reish sageis? Of course, kachim is not chayiv in reish sageis. You're not allowed to shear kachim, and even kachim b'edik abayis, you're not allowed to shear. And don't tell me that kachim b'edik abayis, there's a havamina that that you would give it to a kohen, because you can't give him kachim and you can't do pidyon on it either. So I'm Rabbi Mani Bar Patish. No, the case is not that the shearings are kachim. You were makdish the behema for bedek habayis, and you excluded the gizos from the hektish. So that's where there's avamina. Take those shearings that are not kadosh, give that to the kohen. Amakra soncha velo tzon shel hektish. No, soncha not a tzon shel hektish. If the sheep itself belongs to Agdish, the shearings, which even if they don't belong to Agdish, the shearings are part from Rish Sages. So then we could, once we're saying that, the Mishnah could have been talking about Kachim Mizbeach as well. You don't need to say something about Kachim B'dik Abayis because the shearings are chulin. So there's a havamina that you would give those shearings to a kohen. Says Zemara, kachshi. No, there's no havamina that you would be able to take the shearings of an animal that's Kachim Mizbeach, because when you shear the animal, it weakens the animal itself. But then Kachim B'dik Abayis, nami kachshi. You have the same problem when it comes to Kachim B'dik Abayis. Now the case must be where you said I'm being makdish the animal, the bedek abayis, chutz from the shearings and the weakening of the animal as a result of those shearings. All of that is not included in the hegdish. So Zumar, yeah, but kachim izbech lami, damar chutz migiza ukhisha. You can make that same ukimta about kachim izbech, except for the shearings and the weakening of the animal. Afiluachi pashta kedusha bakula. It won't work by kachim izbech. Kachim izbech is such an intense form of kedusha that if the animal as kedusha, you cannot exclude the gizo kchisha from that kedusha. It's machlokas rishonim whether you cannot exclude the giza and the kchisha from that kedusha, or just that you cannot exclude the weakening, but the giza you actually can exclude because that's actually external to the animal. Umina teima, how do I know that by kachim isbeach the kedusha is so strong that it's automatically going to be mispashet in the entire animal? It's going to spread to everything, and there's no such thing as excluding parts from the kedusha. Dam Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi tells us in Maseches Tamura, v'alo b'muktash in ha'omer ragla shel zu ola, by muktashim, if a person says the regal of this animal should be a carbon ola, kula ola, the entire animal is a carbon ola, because in spashta kedusha v'kula, you're making it a kedushas mizbeach, the kedushas mizbeach automatically spreads to the entire animal. Not everyone agrees to the sheet of Rabbi Yossi. Yeah, v'afilu Rav Meir, damra in kula ola, even Rav Meir would say that the entire animal is not an ola, hani mili da'akta. That's only because the part that you made hegdish in that case was just the leg, and an animal can live without a leg. But even a mayor would agree that if you're makdish part of the animal that the animal cannot live without, then automatically in special kedusha bakula, the kedusha extends throughout the whole animal. So over here we're talking about where you were makdish the entire animal chutz migizosela. So the entirety of the animal is certainly something that that the animal cannot live without. It can't live without its entire body. So therefore, everyone would agree that this pasha kedusha b'kula, and even the kchisha and the giza is included in that kedusha. So basically, what we said until now, when our Mishnah says the reish sageis is noig b'chulin v'lo m'mukdashin, it's clearly talking about kachim b'dik abayis, because kachim is bech. Of course, there's no reish sageis b'kachim is bech. It's all about kachim b'dik abayis. And we made an Ukimta in a way where the Gizos are not going to have that Kedusha. So says Gemara, Rava Amar, we're totally misunderstanding the Mishnah. A totally different approach to the Mishnah. B'maktish Giza Atzma. The Mishnah is talking about where you're maktish only the Giza. And the reason for the Patur, meaning it's the opposite of the last Ukimta. The last Ukimta we had was that the animal is Kadosh and the Giza is not Kadosh. No, here we're talking about that the Bailim is maktish only the Giza, only the shearings. And the reason for the Patur is not based on the Pasuk of Tzoncha, because it is Tzoncha, it is Tzon of Israel. No, it's the Mishnah is to be understood as follows. Salka Taita Chamina, I would have thought that Ligzos Vilifor Kalesav La, shear the sheep, be poded from the wool from Hagdish, and then give the Reish Sagiz to the Kohen. Amakra, Gez Tzoncha Titein Lo, Misha in Mechusrael Gzizu Nesina. The only time you have a Chiv of Reish Sagiz is when the only two steps in the process are shearing and then giving it to the Kohen. Yatzazah, Shemachus, Giziza, Pedia, Unesina. Over here, there will be a third step necessarily added into the process. Since the Giza is Kodesh, you would have to be Poda it, and that's not the way Resh Sagez is done, so that's excluded from the mitzvah of Resh Sagez. Aye, okay, that's great, Rasha, but El Tzoncha Lemayasa, then what do you do with the word Tzoncha? What does Tzoncha come to teach you if I don't need it to teach me about the Behemas Kachim? L'chadetanya tells me the following. Behemas HaShutafim, Chayiv Resh Sagez, Rabbi Levi Poter, Machlokas Tanayim, whether a behema that's owned, Bishutvus, is Chayiv in Resh Sagez. So my time with Rabbi Levi, why does Rabbi Levi think that it's Potter? Amar Kra, Tzoncha, Veloshal Shutafus. Tzoncha means if it's yours, and not if it's yours and somebody else's. Whenever you share it with somebody else, it's Potter from Resh Sagez. V'Rabbanan, what would the Rabbanan do with the word Tzoncha? Because they hold that Shutfus is Chayiv in Resh Sagez. L'mu'tei Shutafus Ovechavim, they'll exclude if there's a non-Jewish partner. That's what's Potter from Resh Sagez. V'Rabbi Lai Shutafus Ovechavim Minalei, where does Rabbi Lai know that when there's a non-Jewish partner it's Potter from Resh Sagez? Nafkalei Meresh Tikra. He learns that from the beginning of the Pasuk. The beginning of that same Pasuk of Resh Sagez talks about Truma, and it says Reshis Degancha. So from the fact that it says Degancha, it implies only yours, velo shutfos avichavim, and it excludes shutfos avichavim. So from there we see that the entire pasuk must be excluding a case of shutfos avichavim. So just like truma, grain that you own together with avichavim is pater from truma, so too an animal that you own together with avichavim is pater from resh sagez. V'rabbanan reshis hivsik inyan. The rabbanan would say that's not a good drasha. You cannot learn from the earlier part of the pasuk about truma because there's an extra word reshis that divides the first part of the pasuk from the second part of the pasuk. So even though in the first part of the pasuk you may have a limud to tell me shutfus avichavim is pater, I need a separate limud for resh sagez to be pater from shutfus avichavim, and that's why the rabbanan need a tzoncha for that purpose. Rabbi Lai vav hadararve. Rabbi Lai would respond, yeah, the word reshus does divide the pasuk, but then the vav comes and reconnects the different parts of the pasuk, and therefore you can learn from an earlier part of the pasuk to the later part of the pasuk. Rabbanan. The Rabbanan, why do they need to be Mema'it, Tzon, that has Shutfus of Chavim from the Chiv of Resh Sagez? They need to darshan the word Tzoncha, they use Tzoncha for that purpose. Couldn't they have learned that from the Gancha that it says in the earlier part of the Pasuk? Because after all, don't they agree that the Vav reconnects the Pasuk? The Rabbanan would say, no, Lo Nichta Rachmana, Lo Vav, Lo Reshis. If that were the case, then the Torah shouldn't have gone out of its way to write both the Vav and the word racist to counter each other, to work off of each other, and we would have automatically been mechaber the pasuk. So it must be that the second word racist is coming to teach me that that you cannot be makish, you cannot link truma and resh sagez. For Rabbi Lai, I did I kedush dam, I kedush saguf. Possibly vader avilu. Rabbi Lai says no. There's a reason the Torah dafka wanted to divide them and then remix them, since they're different in a very fundamental way. That truma has kedushas haguf, whereas resh sagez only has kedushas damim. So the Torah dafka wants to draw a line between them, but then lahalacha, in order that you can make the hekesh, the Torah wants to remix them with the word with the letter vav. The Ibayi Seyman, now the Gemara says, another way of understanding why the Rabbanan don't learn to patur shutfas ovid chavim from Reish Sagez from the word degoncha that it says by truma shutfas ovid chavim b'truma rabban chivim mechayvi. The rabbanon think that shutfas ovid chavim is chayv in truma, so that's why the rabbanon aren't going to learn the p'tur of a shutfas ovid chavim by Reish Sagez from truma, because it's not true. By truma it's chayv in Reish Sagez. Where do we find that? The tanya, you have a brisa. Yisol levicham shalachu sada b'shutafus. You have yisol levicham that buy a field in partnership with each other. Tevel v'chulin mu'ravim zebazeh divrei Rebbe. Rebbe holds that each stalk of grain is a combination of tevel and chulin. The part that's owned by a Jew is tevel. The part that's owned by a guy is total chulin. It's not tevel. There's no iser on it. Rav Shimon Gamliel omer shal yisrael chayv shlo v'chavim pater. Rav Shimon Gamliel says not every stalk of grain is half and half. They divide up. I take half the grain and you take half the grain. The half a grain that the Jew takes is tevel, is chayv in shumas ma'isos. The grain that the guy takes his part from Shumas Meisos. But I'd call no pligiela Marsavar the Marsavar Yesh Breira Marsavar Ein Breira. The whole machlokas is, do we say Huvra Davul Mafreya that when I take my half of the grain, that must have been my half the entire time, and therefore that's Tevel. And when you take your, when the guy takes his half, that must have been his half the entire time, and that's Chulin. Or do you say no, every bit of grain, every little bit of growth is a shutfus of a guy in Israel, and is therefore a combination of Chulin and Tevel. But everyone agrees that there is Tevel in here, that we still have to contend with the issue of Tevel. Everyone agrees that it's still going to be Chayiv. So that's the sheet of the Rabbanan. That's why the Rabbanan cannot learn from Truma that Shutavus of Novid Chavim patters from Resh Sagez. Or we could be Miyashev. Another possibility. How does Rabbi Loi know that Shutavus of Chavim patters one from Resh Sagez? Travail Rabbi Loi mitzon chanavka. Rabbi Loi will learn both types of shutfus, shutfus with the Yisrael and shutfus of Novik Chavim from the word soncha. Shutfus of Chavim my taima delo miach delay. Because after all, why is it that when you have shutfus with Novik Chavim that you put from Reish Sagez? Because it's not delo miach delay li Yisrael. It's not entirely yours. So I'm sorry. Delo miach delay. It's not entirely yours. Li Yisrael nami lo miach delay. When you have a shutfus with a Jew, also it's not entirely yours. So it's the same svara that you need it to be entirely yours in order to be chayv in Reish Sagez. The Rabbanan would disagree. They would say, no, you can't compare when you have a Jewish partner to when you have a non-Jewish partner. When you have a non-Jewish partner, your partner is not a bar chiyuva in Reish Sagez. So if he has any chelik in your tzon, then that tzon is not called miyucha li Yisrael. It's not called tzoncha. But when Yisrael bar chiyuvahu, when your partner is a Jew, it's still called tzoncha, because everyone who owns that sheep is chayiv in Reish Sagez. So in all of Klal Yisrael could be included in Lashon Yachid. Yeah, it doesn't say Tzonchem, it's Tzoncha. But we're all Jews, so it's all Lashon Yachid. You can call it Tzoncha, even if it belongs to more than one Jew. So that's the machlokas between the Rabban and Rabbi Lai. So now, Rabbi Lai is the one that said that Shutfim Yisraelim are Peturim from Reish Sagez. So now the Gemara is going to quote 10 different cases where the Torah speaks for Lashon Yachid, and even Rabbi Lai will admit that B'Shutfus you're still Chayiv in these 10 mitzvahs. We're not going to get through all 10 today, but we'll get through some of them. Amar Rabba. So Rabba says, even though Rabbi Loi patters Shutfus Yisrael from Reish Sagez, Modi Rabbi Loi Betruma. Rabbi Loi would agree that if two Jewish people own in partnership a field, that the grain is chayiv in truma. Avgav d'chsiv, d'koncha, singular, not plural. Didach in the shutfus lo, which would imply that if it's owned in partnership, it's part from truma. No, chas v'rachmana, truma seichem. That's why the pasuk also uses the lashon rabin. El d'koncha lamli. So what do I learn from the word d'koncha in lashon yachid? Lamute shutfus avid chavim. That tells me that if the shutfus is with an avid chavim, it's part from truma. But if a shutfus with the Yisrael is chayiv in truma. Case number two, mitzvah number two, challah. Aval gab d'chsiv reishis, even though it says reishis are second to the shuma v'ikal lemeimar nelef reishis mirish sagez, and you would think, oh, reishis, that's a familiar word. We have the word reishis by reishis sagez. Malalan d'shutaf uslo, afkan d'shutaf uslo, and therefore I would reasonably assume that if reishis sagez that's owned in partnership is pater from reishis sagez, so then by maybe by chala as well. If the dough is owned in partnership, it should be pater from chala. So kas v'achmana ariso sechem. That's why why the Torah goes out of its way to say Reishis Aritzoseichem in plural, that even if it's owned in partnership, you're chayiv and chala. Okay, at the time of the Ksiv Aritzoseichem, halav ha'chiyava mina nelev Reishis Reishis Meris Sageis. So the assumption is, only because it said Ariso Seichem do I know that if there's a shutvus in the dough, then I'm chayiv in my in challah. But it sounds like, but if not for the word Ariso Seichem, then I naturally would have associated challah with Reish Sageis. Says Mana Adrava, Nelev Mitruba. Why would I have naturally associated challah with Reish Sageis? Well, because they both use the word Reishis. I should have associated with Truma. Truma is called Reishis also. It's Reishis Degancha. So the Gemara answers, Hachinami, you're right. I would have more naturally associated challah with Truma. They're much more similar to each other. I more naturally would have assumed that challah is chayiv when you have a shutvus Yisrael based on truma, and therefore I don't need Ariso Seichem to tell me that if I have a shutvus Yisrael I'm chayiv and chala. Of course I'm chayiv and chala when I have a shutvus Yisrael. Ela Ariso Seichem lamali. So what do I do with the word Ariso Seichem? Kedei Ariso Seichem. It tells me the shear of dough that's chayiv in chala. It has to be kedei Ariso Seichem, like they did in the Midbar when the Torah was given. The amount of dough that they got from the man, that was the omer, and that's the shear for challah for all times, which is nasira se'efa. So that let us know the shear. Third din, peya. It says in the Torah that you have to leave peya from the field. Avagav d'chsiv sadcha didach in d'shutfus lo. So it says sadcha, which implies that only if it's your personal field, but if it's owned in partnership, then it's going to be excluded from peya. So that's why kasrachmanu v'kutzrechem esktir artzechem in lashon rabim, to tell me that even if you have a shutuf, you have to leave peya. Ela sadcha lamali. So what do I darshan from the singular sadcha? To exclude if the partnership is with a guy. And one last one for today, Bechara. Avagav d'chsiv kala Bechara sheyivali b'vkar chavetzoncha. Even though it tells me lashon of Bechar in lashon yachid, didachi in dishut v'slo, which I would think would exclude a behemoth that's owned in partnership from Bechara, chas v'rachmano u'v'choros b'karchem v'tzonchem. That's why it has to tell me separately in plural. Ela b'kar chavetzoncha lamli. So what do I do with the pasuk that says in the singular? L'mutei shutfus avid chavim. Tell me that if it's an avid chavim, that's my partner, then we're pater from Bechar. So Be'ez Hashem, next time, tomorrow, we'll pick up with mezuzah and the rest of the list.